Welcome to the CTO Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. This podcast is dedicated to exploring the challenges and opportunities facing today's chief technology officers. Looking to discover what it takes to succeed as a CTO? Then sit back and relax as we explore the fascinating evolution of the world of technology leadership. Here's the host of the CTO Podcast, the founder of 7 CTOs, Etienne De Bruin.
Okay, welcome to the CTO Podcast. I'm your host and the founder of 7 CTOs, Etienne De Bruin. Joining us is Stefan Schmidt, who is the CTO coach at Amazing CTO. As a CTO coach and developer, Stefan has seen many technology departments in fast-growing startups. As a kid, he taught himself to code in a department store around 1981 because he wanted to write video games. Sounds like me. Stefan studied computer science with distributed systems and artificial intelligence at the University of Ulm. He also studied philosophy. When the internet came to Germany in the 90s, he worked as the first coder in several startups. He has founded a VC-funded startup, worked in VC-funded fast-growing startups with architecture, processes, and growth challenges, worked as a manager for ImmoScout, and as a CTO of an eBay Inc. company. And today, Stefan and I are going to discuss vision, strategy, and alignment. Okay, here's my conversation with Stefan Schmidt, the CTO coach at Amazing CTO. Stefan, welcome to the studio.
Hello, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You'll notice I said Stefan. In my language, Afrikaans, we say Stefan.
Which is totally fine.
So
I've heard so many versions of my name.
At Starbucks, my Stefan. And then they ask me with a V or a PH, and then yeah. I'm done.
Just don't confuse me with Stefan. That's like another character.
Okay. So Amazing CTO, I've been receiving your newsletters. I just want to compliment you. Jam-packed. I have to save every single one of them. I have to read and reread each one of them. There's always some fascinating nuggets in there. So just off the bat, I want to encourage everybody to go to Amazing CTO and subscribe to Stefan's newsletter. Tell me about it. Just how did you come up with that? And what was the inspiration behind doing that?
I think I have a lot of opinions. So people who know me know that I have a lot of opinions, especially in everything. Sometimes these opinions are founded in experience. Sometimes they are not. But I have a lot of opinions about software development, doing it for 40 something years. For that, I thought I'd create a newsletter that's a little bit different, that takes news that I think is newsworthy. There's so much stuff around for CTOs, but all my coaches don't have time. So I thought I'd take the things and then essentially put my opinion on these topics. And it was fun. It is fun. I think half the thing is that I do it for the readers and the other half is for me because I enjoy it.
Something I always admire is when someone is not afraid to speak their opinion. How did that happen? I'm always fascinated by people who are not afraid to speak up and give their opinion, especially in a public forum, Twitter, or commenting or participating in the public discourse with a strong opinion. I admire that. I don't have that. I don't have that same strength, I think, to speak up like that. So I'm curious where it came from for you. How did it get nurtured? Why aren't you afraid? Just talk to us.
I think it started as a kid. Like, I was always talking a lot. I could do things on my own. I had many Lego sets and I could play on my own, but I was talking a lot. And in school, I also was talking a lot, which is teachers not always found that very funny, but it was like when I was graduating from college, essentially there is some kind of college book and there are some quotes and there's a quote of a teacher which says, Stefan, we heard enough of your opinion. You can stop now. So that's essentially where it comes from. And it has been since the very beginning as a kid in school and in university. And it also all the time in companies, and sometimes that's very beneficial. And sometimes I've learned to speak my mind.
Yeah, I think my experience, CTOs don't have a problem expressing their opinion about sort of the very narrow stuff that they do know and understand. But I do find it a unique skill to be able to participate in public discourse with the freedom to say what you think and not be afraid or even not find it unnecessary to say something. Like, I do have many opinions about things, but I don't always feel the need to participate in what's happening in public. And forgive me for sort of sitting on this with you, but I'm genuinely inspired by that. So I just want to learn from you around this.
I think while growing older, I become more like what you described. So sometimes I think, why tell my opinion? So I get more and more silent and not speaking up, because sometimes I also think I already said everything that is to say because I talk so much. But I also was very interested in everything. So it looks like, for example, my studies, I started with computer science and the minor was physics. And then I thought, well, physics is too demanding. Computer science already was demanding. Then having physics studies on the side, which was essentially all the same like all the physics students. So I thought, oh, that's too hard. And then I took up medicine as a minor, where the idea was training computer scientists so they can write software for medical machines and they understand doctors. So I'm not a doctor, but that was the study essentially, to understand doctors. And then, but then I was interested in philosophy. So I switched to philosophy. So I'm always interested in everything. And because I'm interested in everything, I also have an opinion in everything. So that's, and as I said, sometimes it's more founded in experience, sometimes it's less.
Yeah, well, I think it's the having the opinion, but then sharing it is the part that's mysterious to me.
I think this might come from trying to save other people. I think that's where it comes from. I'm 50 plus, so today I understand that I don't need to save people. I don't need to save everyone. But I think it's a strong motivation is to save people. And because I also, not only I share a lot of my opinion is, I thought about it a lot before then I share it. When I build an opinion, I thought a lot about the things. And then sometimes I think, other people might need to know this because I spend a lot of time on this already. And then I share the opinion because I think I can help people or save people. As I said, today, I would say that's not necessary, but it took some decades.
I think what I'm learning from this is a well-formulated, well-thought-out spending time on it. I think sometimes I think, well, I have to react to stuff, which is not what I'm hearing from you, which I find actually quite inspirational in this moment. It's not about participating in the public discourse by standing on the sidelines and just agreeing with whoever's the loudest or reacting to whatever's being stated, but to think deep about how you feel about things, deconstruct the ideas, reconstruct them with your expertise and experience. And then I imagine at that point, your confidence level to actually then share in the public square is probably at a whole different level. So I love that. I think you just helped me. You're a great coach. You're letting me do all the hard work. You're not saying anything. You just let the client speak. I love it.
That took a long time.
So you became a coach, specifically, I think, to CTOs. And I think you mentioned that you are working with other coaches. Today's topic is going to talk about some vision, strategy, and alignment. What is it that you're seeing happening? And tell me some things about what you see for vision setting, strategy building, and then subsequent alignment.
I might start with a little bit something different. I saw a lot of stuff happening and in startups with CTOs, in technology departments, but also broader area of startups, talked to many founders. And after some years, I thought the problems I see, a lot of them are because the company does not have a vision and a strategy. So a lot, for example, something that comes up quite often with CTOs is, with my coaches, is developers who want to go from Angular 1 to React to Angular 2. That's one thing I see a lot. Or the discussion, should we have microservices or not? Or should we go to this cloud or that cloud? And a lot of this is happening, from my point of view at least, because the company, and in this instance, the technology department, doesn't have a vision, a strong vision strategy. And because there is no vision and no strategy, people in the department or in the company, in the startup as a whole, are not guided enough in their decisions.
Yeah, and so then you have technical leaders, CTOs wondering, why can't I make progress or why do I feel the way I do? But then when in actual fact, they are operating outside of that vision.
Yes, and you made the point about leaders. I think if you want to be a leader, you need to lead people. And that begs the question, where do you lead people to? Mm. And so a lot of my coaches struggle with being a leader. And again, that's also something, they don't have a vision. So they don't know where to lead people to. So they can't be a leader. And the vision, I always have a very simple example for a vision and some strategy. And the vision essentially is like, if you have a company hiking event, company is going on a hike. And the vision then would be having barbecue at the sea in the evening. That's the vision. The vision is self-motivating. The vision is self-evident. The vision is self-explanatory. So no explanation, no motivation, no evidence, because the vision speaks for itself. Having barbecue at the sea in the evening. And I'm a vegetarian, but nevertheless, having barbecue at the sea in the evening. And the strategy is, how do we get there? So the vision is where we want to be. It's a golden, shiny place in the future. And the strategy is how we get there. And in this case, it might be that we go on the left of the mountain, on the right of the mountain, or at the river. But as a leader, I choose a strategy going left of the mountain, because right of the mountain is too dangerous. And if you go by the river, everyone is bathing all the time or is like fishing all the time. We will never arrive. So for that reason,
for those who don't know German, when he says bathing, he meant swimming.
Problem. Yeah. Sometime in the future, ChatGPT will automatically autocorrect me speaking.
You're doing great.
Funny how I sound. Then, yeah. So I chose the strategy to go left of the mountain. And that's a very simple example of what strategy and what vision is. Mm. And all the employees on the hike know that if they arrive at the fork in the road, go left, because that's the way left of the mountain. Mm. And that's the same in a company. That's how I think a vision and a strategy help getting people to.
Yeah, I think that's a very clear and a very easily to understand explanation. Sometimes people don't always know what's a vision and a mission. And so when things go, is it safe to assume that when things go badly on alignment, point people to the strategy? When things go badly on strategy, point people to the vision? Is that how you see it?
Yes, yes. And the strategy should be something that's helping people make decisions. If the strategy is not helping making people decisions, should I do this or should I do that? Should I go to the cloud or should I go to the cloud, or should I do microservices or should I invest in mobile or should I whatever? If the strategy is not helping you make the decisions, the right decisions, then it's a bad strategy. And if I look, because you asked before, what have I seen? I've seen so many bad visions and strategy. Just this week, I saw a strategy and vision, and it was so bad, really, really, really bad, I think. And I asked, wow, how did you come up with that? And the answer was, yeah, everyone went on an offsite, and then we discussed it, and then we compromised on that vision and that strategy. I think committee-driven strategy and committee-driven vision doesn't. It needs to be... It doesn't work. It's not can't be a compromise of different ideas.
Yeah. So as we end this episode around vision and alignment, which I think is just a general reminder for all of us, hey, operate within a vision. How would you coach CTOs who are side of a badly defined vision or the lack of a strategy when there are these obvious issues? How do you coach CTOs inside of this who ostensibly do not really control the vision?
In several instances, we have a cross session together with the CEO, and several times this helped a lot. But what I see, how I see it is, there is a business vision and a business strategy, a product vision and a product strategy, and then a tech vision and a tech strategy. So it's not only that as a CTO, you need the others, but you can create a tech strategy, which would be something like, we want to create deep features with technology that wows people, or something like, oh, it's our vision, or our vision is not a strategy. The vision is we want to build deep features, for example. And then a strategy is a way to get there. So that you can do something as a CTO, but usually I try to talk to the CEO, because the business vision, the product vision and the tech vision need to be aligned. Otherwise, that's also something I see a lot, is the product department goes in this direction, tech goes in another, and business goes into third direction.
So you see a hierarchy. So I also talk about this a lot, but you'd see the hierarchy of the reason this company exists is for vision that is, like you said, self-evident. Yes. It draws people in. It's emotive. It's a state that the company wants the world to be in or something. Then you're saying in service to that vision, you can have then your product vision, technology vision as in service to, well, what do we want the product, the self-evidence of the product to be with this grand vision cost? How, you know, the technology vision in many ways is, in my mind, yes, we're building a taxi cab dispatching app, But our technology vision is to be one where we draw in the world's best players to want to wake up every day and enjoy what they're coding. Is it something like that?
I try for something more specific. Like if your vision is the same vision like every other company, it's hard to stick out, you know? Mm. So yes, something in that direction, but I would really try hard, because if it's for every startup in Germany, for example, the same could be the same vision. It's not very specific to you.
And I love it.
It's not very specific to you. How does it
help? So something that is distinctively and uniquely true then also for the startup.
Yes.
Great. Well, do you see a role that the CTO can play in setting product vision?
Yes. I think one of my pet peeves is that the CTO should be much, much, much more involved in product and get out of the execution service mindset into a creator mindset.
Mm. Do you like when the product people report into the CTO?
Yes. When I left the eBay Inc. company, I advised them to replace me with a CPTO. I think that's often makes a lot of problems go away. But if you have a specific tech problem, if you're tech heavy, have a CTO. But if you create a website with a database, a CPTO might be right.
Very good. Some food for thought around product management, vision casting. Thank you, Stefan. Hopefully we'll talk tomorrow again.
Thank you.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the CTO podcast. Thanks to Stefan Schmidt, CTO coach at Amazing CTO, for joining us. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Stefan and I are going to discuss the future of CTOs with AI. If you can't wait until our next episode and would like to learn more about Stefan, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is King of Coders, or visit his company website at amazingcto.com. Just one link in our show notes I want to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while listening to this podcast, head over to ctopod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for all our guests. And if you want to share your stories of technical strategy and leadership in the C-suite, you can apply to be a guest speaker on the CTO podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is 7CTOs on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can contact me directly. My handle is @TheBruin, @TheBruin. If you haven't subscribed yet and want a steady stream of CTO brilliance in your podcast feed, we're publishing multiple episodes each week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. Okay, that's all for today. But until next time, remember that if things aren't breaking, your company isn't growing. Okay?